If you trace the history of efforts to make the world more accessible for people who are blind or have other disabilities, you might end up in a basement in Berkeley, California, known as The Cave. The Cave was a study center for blind students at UC Berkeley. There, they collaborated, advocated, supported each other, and fostered some groundbreaking tech innovations. Isabella Cueto wrote about The Cave for our partners at STAT, the health and medicine publication, and she joins us now. Isabella, welcome.
Hi.
Can you describe The Cave for us first? Give me a picture of what it looked like.
Sure. So the way it was described to me by the students who sort of lived in there was as this basement. You know, you would go to the bottom of one of the main libraries on the UC Berkeley campus, and there was like a sofa made of seats that were pulled out of a van from the disabled students program. And there were 8 study rooms, each with their own desk, and people would customize them and claim them. But it was, you know, windowless, and it was just sort of this hub of activity. There were all kinds of people down there at any given time.
Well, one of the people is someone you profiled named Joshua Mealy, who went to UC Berkeley in the 80s. And then ended up winning a MacArthur Genius Grant in 2021. Tell us about him and what work got him a Genius Grant.
Sure, yeah. So Josh has a really interesting trajectory. He started at Berkeley wanting, he studied physics. He wanted to do something having to do with space, and he interned at NASA for a while he was in school. But ultimately, he decided to pivot to this work of assistive technologies and adaptive technologies. And he's created a bunch of tools, including a Wearabraille, which is this sort of wireless system of finger loops that have motion detectors on them, so people can type out as if on a keyboard and it'll write out text messages. A U-Describe, which is basically a YouTube-like platform where people can listen to audio descriptions of videos, and there's thousands of them in there. And now he's at Amazon working on tools over there.
But he did tell you that the cave was really important to his development. What did he say about that?
Yeah, so when he arrived at Berkeley, he really didn't have much of a sense of what the disability rights movement history was in Berkeley, or, you know, what a central role that community in particular played in getting things done, really, and making the world more equitable, or at least the United States more equitable. It took until he got connected with this community of other blind students and community members. And that's when he realized that his ideas of what being blind were not really accurate. You know, he was going based off of what he saw depicted in the media. And to him, those people were what he called bumbling fools. And he was just really determined to not be that. And in the cave, he was able to meet a whole range of blind people who were interesting and capable and smart. And that helped shape his identity in a major way.
Judging from the amount of technology that came out of the cave related to text messaging and YouTube, it was clearly a creative hub. But also, you write that students in the cave, quote, banded together to create a chorus of squeaky wheels. How important was just the camaraderie and solidarity that seemed to have formed there?
Well, the people I spoke to, and it's a vast network of folks that are connected to the cave, they said that was a really important part of it. You know, when you're a young person, finding community and finding people who can help you make sense of your world and your identity is so important, and especially when you have a disability and you're trying to figure out how to navigate a place like Berkeley, which is a huge university. You need to figure out who are the professors that are going to accommodate you, who should you stay away from. They pushed for getting talking computers in the computer science department, for getting tools down in the cave, like another talking computer that would help them access the library catalog. And there were any number of other, you know, instances of discrimination they were facing. And in the cave, they could sort of strategize and compare notes with each other and figure out how to solve the problems for themselves, because that's how it was done back then.
So what do we learn from this? How might we replicate this kind of environment for other groups of people or students?
Well, I think these sorts of environments come about pretty organically. What was interesting about the cave is that it really was this really unique crashing together of all these different factors, you know, so it was coming off of that wave of the disability rights movement. It was also while these new technologies were being developed and coming up, and, you know, Berkeley's not far from Silicon Valley, for example. And there were all of these kids arriving from all over. The community of Berkeley at the time was also a place where there were a lot of people working part-time jobs and patching together a living. So they were working in the cave, helping people read their textbooks. So it was really a unique environment that I'm not sure can be replicated exactly, but it just shows that sharing tools and sharing resources and information is super important in helping people to succeed.
Isabella Cueto, Science Reporting Fellow with our partners at STAT, the Health and Medicine publication. Isabella, thank you so much.
Thank you, Celeste.